Well, America and the nations continue to be swirling and shaking, even this weekend, even around the world. It's time for some Kingdom Sanity right here on the Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, it says in Hebrews, the fourth chapter, that the Word of God is living and active, that it's sharper than any two-edged sword, that it pierces to the very division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Many times our emotions can get stirred. Many times things can swirl around us. And we need to step back and get the Word in our heart, in our mind, step back, get an attitude of worship before God, get our heads clear, get our minds renewed, and then we can have a kingdom perspective. I want to help you do that today on the Line of Fire. In fact, we'll do it together. Michael Brown, welcome to today's broadcast. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you want to weigh in on anything I talk about today, I've got a bunch of issues I want to discuss with you, things happening in the news, things that have been on my heart for the church. I'm going to talk to you about a wide range of things. If you want to jump in it at any point, please do so, 866-348-7884. If you agree with me, if you have got more to say, if you've got a question needing clarity, if you differ with me, your calls are warmly welcome. I do have a few things I want to say after the weekend and more discussion about race and division in America. I believe some constructive thoughts on that, but I'm not going to major on that today. I want to talk to you about some marriage-related stats that I think are eye-opening and important for us to look at. A story that's getting more attention in the news, a man described it as the most selfish thing in the world. Sadly, he was right. I want to talk to you a little bit about Islam, the real Islam. Is it the moderate version? Is it the radical version? Give you some updates on hyper grace and a few other things. Before I get into any of that, I was just on the phone right before the show today with a dear colleague, friend of mine who pastors in Rochester, so right outside of Detroit, Michigan. And of course, news over the weekend about the city of Detroit declaring bankruptcy. And then a judge said, well, you can't do that. And then fingers being pointed back and forth. And some of my friends who are much more economically strong than I am, meaning they study economics and they understand finances much better than I do, they looked very intensively a few years back, as best as they could, they analyzed where we were in America with finances in the Great Depression, so in the late 1920s. And then they looked at where we are today, and they concluded that we're in worse shape today, or similar shape, the only difference being we have credit cards. And if you took that away, we would be in an even worse situation. In other words, a lot of stuff is being superficially sustained. And when that bubble bursts, there could be massive collapse. Now, look, I know that means a lot of human suffering. I know that these types of things have all types of reverberations, that these economic trials affect people's lives in tangible ways. And none of us like to see human suffering like that. But I feel in many ways, we're living in so much of an artificial bubble here in America that it's only as it bursts that we'll get on our faces before God and start to live in a way that is pleasing in His sight and get out of the materialism and greed and carnality and superficiality that has so sapped our life. Oh, I'm not looking for calamity, but I'm saying let the artificial be shaken that we can have the real. Okay, back with a whole lot more.
Change the world. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm just smiling at some silly tweet that came in. Oh, gosh. You know, people think they have these brilliant arguments, and when you tell them they're not brilliant, they say, oh, you just don't understand it. And then you're supposed to respond in depth in 140 characters. Ugh. Okay, praise the Lord. 866-348-7884. Michael Brown, I've got a question for you before I go further. How many of you expect to see an economic collapse in America? None of us want to in the natural, because we know that means human suffering and challenging and hardship. But how many of you expect, either based on your understanding of finances or just based on your gut, what you feel, how many of you expect to see a real economic collapse in America, that so much of what we're doing is supported by foreign money? China pulled their money out, if the oil-rich Muslim nations pulled their money out, if India pulled their money out of America, we'd have a complete overnight collapse. That would be an understatement. But how many of you think, just with the debt-ridden nature of the way we live and the national debt being what it is, how many of you think there is going to be a massive economic collapse in our country? Now, you may have an end-time theology that fits in with that as well. I'm just curious. Or how many feel, no, God's blessing us, we're hardworking people, and we'll have some struggles, but get through it. Just curious to know your take on that. 866-348-7884. Okay, let me give you a couple of more reflections to close out the discussion we've been having about racial division in America. If you've been listening to my broadcast for any length of time, you know that it's my philosophy that I'm very happy to tread into difficult and potentially dangerous waters together with you, my listening audience, so that we can learn from each other, sort through controversial issues, and grow together in unity in the Lord. A true unity that challenges lacks in me, and I can challenge lacks in you. You know, I've been talking a lot about blind spots, that we all have blind spots. But recognizing I have a blind spot does not mean that I act on it. Recognizing I have a blind spot doesn't mean that I take steps to make up for that deficiency. So you know you have a blind spot in your car to the left of you as you're driving. You know that's there, but unless you make the extra effort to look over your shoulder before you change lanes or move over in that direction, you're not adequately addressing that blind spot. So I've asked for a lot of input. I've gotten many great calls, and you've been so honest with me. I appreciate that. And where you differ with me, or where you think I'm missing something, or my insights are superficial when it comes to some of these sensitive areas here in our country, you've spoken truthfully to me with respect. So I really appreciate it. And I keep thinking and stepping back and saying, okay, what is it that I don't see? What is it that when I look, see, here's the nature of a blind spot. When I look, I still don't see the thing unless I make up for that deficit and take that extra look. You follow me? In other words, it's not that suddenly the blind spot goes away, but we recognize it's there and therefore we address it. Now, here's where I'm going with this. I wrote another article, got some great responses online in different settings, where I say, okay, here's what I've learned from my listeners in interacting and thinking and reflecting on things that I will not see, that I'll miss as a white American raised in middle-class suburbs in a happily married home, etc. And then here's some questions I want to put out for reflection with my African-American Christian friends, and I'd love your responses, and perhaps these are blind spots you have. So there have been great responses. Some folks very respectfully saying, Dr. Brown, thanks for opening this up, but here's what you're still missing. And it's been really useful. And some of it makes me a little uncomfortable to read because, like, ooh, am I missing it that badly? But could be. And because I love justice, and because I love unity in Jesus, I'm willing to work these things through. What I found fascinating was when I was asking folks, whatever their ethnic background was, whatever their cultural background was, whatever their color was, to say, what blind spots do you think there might be on your side? I got almost no responses to that. I got almost no response. I had people help me with my blind spots, but very few saying, here's a blind spot on our end. So can I just throw this out? I don't want to major on this through the broadcast. I know we easily could, but I just want to throw this out. Here's where I'm at as I've reflected prayerfully about these things. Racial profiling and the challenges that a Black American family experiences, even well-educated upper class, are more extreme and more widespread than I even realized. And this is, again, just reading from posts and comments of saying, you don't understand what we have to deal with in the workplace. You don't understand what we have to deal with here. So all that has been very, very useful to me to get a broader perspective. And here's what highlighted for me that this is the obvious blind spot. Because the racial issues have been so present in so many ways and so current, not just memories, current, ongoing, daily in some cases, all right? Because of that, then many of my African American friends have the blind spot of seeing everything through race and don't realize. In other words, when I said, must it always be about race, and people wrote back explaining why it is, that's the very blind spot. That's the very blind spot, because it makes it difficult to see when race is not the issue. And hence, this came up for me a few years ago when Mr. Obama was Senator Obama, and I took issue with what he said on the air one day, and a caller called in and said, why do you always have to bring up race? And I was baffled. What do you mean bring up race? I had taken issue with something Senator McCain had said the day before that or a few days before that, and then this day I was taking issue with something Senator Obama said. Race did not exist in my mind in this. It didn't exist. It didn't matter who the person was. And in fact, there were Black candidates at different times that I was very supportive of. And there were women I was supportive of and women I wasn't supportive of. And across the board. And no matter how you break it down. Jewish candidates I didn't like. Jewish candidates, I mean, I wouldn't even think of that. But I realized, though, okay, that some people were filtering it through race. And then they explained to me why it was justified to filter it through race. That's the blind spot. That's the blind spot. Do you see that? Hey, Joey, I'm going to play a clip from my end. And this is a pastor in New York City, a Black pastor, James David Manning. Now, many of you know him and like him. Many of you know him, don't like him. Many of you haven't heard from him. But he's preaching about the whole Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin situation in his church. And he says something. These are very heavy words. They're coming from him. They're not coming from me, okay? They're coming from him. They're not coming from me. But I just want to illustrate a point here. As I've been listening, examining things, recognizing the degree to which I cannot relate to certain backgrounds, certain upbringings, certain difficulties, certain negative things that have been experienced. Trust me, your comments continue to help me. Again, I've known, of course I have a blind spot because I didn't grow up the same way and see things through the same world, even though, we're one in Jesus. I understand that. But we each have our perspectives that help each other. But I have been made aware of the depth to which I did not understand. I could articulate them before, but I think much better now, recognizing the degree to which things are still so widespread, even with African-American president or Black president. But listen to what this pastor says as he's kind of ripping into his congregation here.
You are convinced that, and ain't nothing, no matter what I preach, no matter what I say, no matter what I do, ain't nothing in the world going to convince you that George Zimmerman is not guilty. But you're wrong. And the only reason why you think that way is because you're Black. Because you see the world not through the blood of Jesus. You see the world through your Black eyes. You have not changed yet. You're Black. You're Black before you're anything. You're Black before you're Christian. You're Black before you're Holy Ghost. You're Black before you're anything. Your Blackness is greater than your religion. And that's why with you, Zimmerman's guilty. But let me ask you a question.
All right, so he goes on from there. Now, here's what's interesting. I have dear friends of mine, Black pastors, who have been told by Black Christian friends, because they voted Republican or because they are conservative on social issues that they're not black enough. So again, that is a stronghold and a blind spot that needs to be recognized where it applies, where it applies. So it's important as we have dialogue, it's important as we interact that you expose something in me that makes me uncomfortable. Trust me, some of the emails I've gotten, some of the comments made me uncomfortable because they were hard-hitting and lovingly rebuking me, thanking me for opening the conversation, but lovingly rebuking me. So we've got to now kind of open each other's eyes, and we're going to continue on this journey to do it so we can achieve deeper unity in Jesus.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-348-7884. Matt, is our latest article up online? An article I wrote, I felt really stirred to write this Saturday night, called Lack of Fire: The True Crisis in the Contemporary Charismatic Church, posted this morning at Charisma News, the opinion column. For all of you who say you're Pentecostal, for all of you who say you're charismatic, for all of you who say you believe in the gifts and power of the Spirit for today, I believe this article will really speak to you and stir you. I felt deeply moved to write it. The responses have been excellent so far. So when you get a chance, go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and click on the latest article. Before I go on to some other news items I want to talk to you about, discuss with you, let's go back to the question of economic collapse as Detroit, city of Detroit, declared bankruptcy. And again, different finger pointing, who's responsible and what this means and who bails out Detroit. What if America declares bankruptcy? You know what I'm saying? Where's the money coming from? The more we print, the more we charge does not actually create income and funds. At a certain point, things, well, the bottom out, or better say, the bottom falls out. Is that going to happen to us? And what does that mean? Is that something that goes hand in hand with spiritual awakening? Let me grab one call on this. Mike in Jersey City, New Jersey, what are your thoughts on the economic issues?
Hello, Michael?
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, how you doing, sir? I'm sorry. First of all, I just want to say I do admire James Manning's bravery. He's a great brother, and I love him very much for taking the stances that he has taken. I have been unemployed now for almost 5 years, and during this unemployment, I've had a few jobs, but none of them have lasted more than 2 weeks. I graduated high school in 1977. I've worked for 30 years. Several jobs, but never had problems finding a job a week or two after being laid off or fired from any job that I had. Now, it just seems that there are dozens of people in my library in this city that are looking for work on the computer. You don't get a lot of time because there's so many people in line. And we are headed for an economic collapse, and I don't know, you know, what it's going to lead to in this country. Of, you know, millions of people are going to be in the streets, unemployed, on welfare, or the crime rate is just going to soar because so many people are going to need food, going to need to feed their families.
And, all right, so Mike, let me play the devil's advocate here for a second.
Sure.
Well, you came on hard times, and you're around people that are on hard times, but you are projecting your own negative situation on the whole nation. Obviously, you don't feel that way. Why is it then that you have this deep foreboding? Is it just based on your own experience, or is there more to it?
No. I talk to a lot of people about employment. It's good to network with people while I'm in this situation and try to make contacts. And the majority of the response that I get from people while I do this is that, yes, my husband, my cousin, my brother hasn't worked for as long as you, and he has a college degree, and he's now working at you know, not a McDonald's, but something close to it, you know, it's pervasive. This attitude, this knowledge of the circumstances that we're in this country is pervasive amongst everyone that I talk to.
Got it. Yeah, well, Mike, again, I'm not arguing with it. As you know, I raised the question and the issue. The key thing, obviously, for all of us is to have solid relationship with the Lord and live as practically and wisely as we can, be good stewards, because God does promise to be with us and help us. But those of us who think that America is going to be shaken and we'll just coast on driving Porsches and eating filet mignon for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, to present an exaggerated picture, we've got another thing coming to us. Mike, may God's grace be yours. May he help you, and may there be a breakthrough even in these coming days for you and those close to you. I appreciate the call. I have no desire to fearmonger here. And again, I'm not an economist. You know, I rarely talk about economic issues. Here, look, I talk about areas where I have expertise and areas where I have particular burden. And if I don't have expertise in an area where I have a burden, then I learn from those who have expertise and I study and dig on my own. You've heard almost nothing from me about the immigration issue in America. It's a major, important issue, but I'm not called to major on everything. I'm called to major on certain things, and it's a discussion I want to have, but I'm going to have it with expert Christian guests who can help us sort that through. Economy is a major, major concern. Obviously, touches every one of us, affects every one of us. But it is not my area of expertise, nor is it a primary area of burden God's given me. So to have those discussions, we have people on who have godly perspectives and wisdom and knowledge in that area. But what God has called me to, and what God has given me certain expertise in terms of practically speaking, is the call for awakening in the church and moral and cultural revolution in society. And I want to encourage you, friends, to look past the headlines, even the bad news. Now, some of you are personally touched by bad news. It's anything but abstract. But I mean, as we look at what's happening nationally, come on, we're in a lot of upheaval. And the scandals with IRS and NSA and the new health care and all of the implications with that. And then the crisis over immigration and the potential economic crisis and the rising up of awareness of the depth of racial division that exists in our country, and on and on and on. While we continue to look at the super volatile situation in the Middle East, it's one of those moments of just extreme upheaval. It's the time for us to take hold of God and get out of our churchianity and get out of our traditional religion and get out of our habitual way of doing things and say, God, we need you to shake everything that must be shaken so that your people can awaken and we can touch this lost and dying world with the gospel, that we can be so changed, we can bring change to those around us. Some years back, I did systematic teaching on the subject of spiritual warfare, in depth in the Word, about the life we live and how to live it in a God-pleasing way, and the spiritual realm, on spiritual warfare, angels, demons, and deliverance, two series that are 24 hours long combined, systematic teaching from the Word. You can download them both for $15 for the entire two series. It's 24 hours of teaching. You can download them. You can just go to my website, askdrbrown.org, click on the special offer, or you can get them on CD. I think it's just $25 or $20 for the two CDs. But call if you like, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978 to order, or just go straight to the website and you can download the files within seconds.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire this Monday. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. To read my latest article, Lack of Fire, The True Crisis in the Contemporary Charismatic Church, please go to AskDrBrown.org. Go to my website and just click on the latest article. Pastor John MacArthur has called for a Strange Fire conference. My contention is Strange Fire is hardly the problem. It's lack of fire that is the real issue. 866-34-TRUTH. I'll share a bit more of that article with you later. Okay, little quote in the news, but it illustrates something for me. Hang on, let me find this. I'm not a celebrity watcher, okay? In case that hasn't dawned on you yet, I am not a celebrity watcher. I am not one of those who can tell you the latest about the rich and famous and so on, or who's this one, or what's the latest movie with that one. I don't follow the gossip columns, all right? I don't subscribe to National Enquirer. You get the point, and I imagine that's the case with most all of you. So I had no idea who Miley Cyrus was, nor did I know who Hannah Montana was. But as our grandkids were growing up, one of our daughters mentioned that she was just never cool on the whole Hannah Montana thing and didn't want her daughter or granddaughter watching it. This was years back. So that's where I heard the name. Didn't really know who this was. So then this is actually Miley Cyrus. And then, again, the little that I know, you've got these child stars who, for the most part, especially I think it happens with guys and girls, but these child stars, and they're famous as little, innocent, sweet children, and most of them are deprived of a childhood. Many of them suffer all kinds of things that kids should not suffer, be exposed to. Many of them, again, I haven't tracked this extensively, just common knowledge. Many of them end up really, really messed up as they grow up. And it's almost like guaranteed asking for trouble. Guaranteed that, just like if you put a six-year-old behind the car, the steering wheel of the car, and taught that kid to drive, and all six-year-olds learn to drive, you'd have a ton more accidents because six-year-olds are just not capable of factoring in everything they need to. There's certain things with life experience and exposure and publicity and so on that you just don't grow up the way you ought to grow up. You're deprived of childhood, different things like that. And it's not even like someone in a third-world country has had to work all their life and didn't have a normal childhood in that respect. There's a lot less joy and often purpose and sense of destiny in their lives, but it's a different thing. They're not going to mess up the same way these other kids did. Well, Miley Cyrus recently told the Toronto Sun, "Everyone said I was a lesbian, but I'm like, being a lesbian isn't a bad thing. So if you think I look like a lesbian, I'm not offended. You can call me much worse. I've been called much worse. Being a lesbian is a compliment more than what else they call me." Now, the reason I mention this is not to condemn her. She needs Jesus. But it's to say that years back, there were people saying, when she was standing up for the redefinition of marriage, and it's fine for two men to marry, two women to marry, and she loves the word, she prays, and she's studying scripture every day, and she's a godly Christian. So no, she's obviously not. She's obviously not. Oh, when she did this, when she did that. No, she's still a godly Christian. No, she obviously wasn't. She obviously wasn't. And if she was, she would be living differently. Did she ever know the Lord at any point? Only God knows that. But we gotta look at the handwriting on the wall, friends. When we see people speaking things that are contrary to the word and living in ways that are contrary to the word, it's time for us to wake up and say, okay, I guess they are not following Jesus. Forget our cultural Christianity. We need to see disciples of Jesus, and they're going to live differently, and talk differently, and act differently, and even look differently. What do you know?
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. Covering a lot of different issues today on The Line of Fire after the weekend, a bunch of things that are on my heart, on my mind. If you want to weigh in at any point, to agree, to disagree, to add your comment, to raise a question, 866-348-7884. That's 866-34-TRUTH. I may write an article on this today, come out tomorrow maybe, called the Most Selfish Thing in the World. There is a story now, I guess ABC's 2020 did a story on this gentleman, Eric Myers. He married his high school sweetheart many years ago. He and his wife had two kids. Then they adopted three Vietnamese kids, three boys from Vietnam. So they had a family of five. He went missing 16 years ago. It was away at a business meeting, disappeared 16 years ago. He was legally pronounced dead. In fact, the family cashed in his $800,000 life insurance policy, and that was used towards the daughter's education, Kirsten and Aaron. Well, turns out that he started a new life. He disappeared, never contacted his family, went to Mexico, and then met somebody and has been in the States all these years. And he's with another man. He's been with this man all these years. And suddenly it resurfaces. Now, he had Christian background. That's why he didn't want to get divorced when the family was going through some hard times. But in point of fact, he's been with this other guy all this time. And now people have gotten word back to the family. And suddenly he resurfaces. The daughter, Kirsten, was only 8 years old, this one of the two daughters, when her father disappeared. She doesn't forgive him for the pain that loss caused her. She remembers crying herself to sleep every night and screaming that she wanted him back. And he doesn't make excuses for what he did. He says, "I cannot say anything to deny that this is the most selfish thing in the world and I'll never be painted as a saint, but no one is all good and no one is all bad." Okay, first thing, when you do something like this, when you abandon your wife and your children, your two natural children and your three adopted children, and you just abandon them and leave them to go through the agony they go through for whatever reason, don't put a disclaimer after saying this is the most selfish thing in the world. Don't put a disclaimer on it saying no one's all good, no one's all bad. And don't lessen it by saying I'll never be painted as a saint. But why do I bring this up? I bring this up because this is the extreme example of it's all about me. This is the extreme example of it's all about me. Now, I want to come back to this. I want to explain what I'm saying here and then even tell you something happening at Fuller Evangelical Seminary, which is one of the flagship evangelical seminaries in America, but for many years has been left-wing evangelical in certain ways, liberal evangelical in certain ways, especially in the School of Theology, more than in the School of World Mission. But first, let's just play this clip. This is a woman talking about the absence of a father.
I didn't even know my father. I didn't meet him until I was 15. I wondered what was wrong with me. Why wasn't I good enough? Nobody ever told me that you deserve to have someone who loves you unconditionally. You deserve to have all of the things that your heart desires. How do you heal that little girl inside of you to make yourself feel valued and feel worthy? How do you fix her?
Okay. That is so articulate. That is so telling of what can happen when a daughter's raised without a father, a son's raised without a father. you know, you hear someone testify and, hey, look, I was raised by my two moms. Look at how great I'm doing. And I say, I'm sure they were devoted to their son. I'm sure he's been an achiever in many ways, but I think what a loss. He never had a father. Well, he did have a father, but he never knew his father. What a loss. What a loss. So here's what things come down to so much in our society, friends. It's all about me. How do I feel about this? God's will has to be conformed to my desires. God's will has to be conformed to how what I feel good about doing. And if I can't feel good about doing it, then it's not God. In other words, God's here for me rather than me being here for God. That's the American gospel in a nutshell. God's here for you rather than you being here for God. The American gospel is how to make me into a bigger and better me, as opposed to how to come to the end of my life and the beginning of a new life in God, where I live to serve and please Him. And in doing so, find out what I was really created for. Find out what you were really created for. So I finished my book on hyper grace. It's in the process of being published. This is, you know, months long process, but due out January 7th. We'll be talking about a lot more as we get closer. Those who've read it thus far have been absolutely thrilled with the content. I'm deeply gratified for the responses, and I believe it's going to open a whole lot of eyes as we expose the dangers in the modern grace message. The book I'm working on now, having finished Hyper Grace, is Can You Be Gay and Christian? While I continue to plug away on my commentary on the book of Job, which is a few more years of work to finish and get out. And then while I continue to write articles, 2, 3, 4 articles a week, with whatever I'm stirred to write. But Can You Be Gay and Christian? What I found reading so much literature from those who struggle with same-sex attraction, from those who've agonized, I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. And at the same time, I'm conflicted because I'm same-sex attracted. This is what these folks would be saying in their books, like Justin Lee's book, Torn, and other things like this. And they kind of come to this point of decision. They come to this point of decision and say this: I'm not sure what the Bible really says about homosexual practice. I've heard arguments that say, well, Paul wasn't really addressing our situation here. And it wasn't talking about monogamous, same-sex committed relationships, or it was in the context of this or this or this. I'm not sure about that. But what I am sure about is that this is who I am. This is what same-sex attracted people would say. This is who I am. Therefore, I will now interpret the Bible based on who I am. See, that's the fundamental error. And if you take Dr. Mel White, founder of Soul Force, former professor at Fuller Seminary, pastor. One Greek scholar was telling me, we were teaching together in Hong Kong earlier this year, and he was a student at Fuller. He said, if you really wanted to hear the word preached, you wanted to hear great, solid exposition of the word. He said, you go to hear Dr. Mel White preach. And then it turns out he was struggling with same-sex attraction the whole time and suicidal over it and had everything to, you know, shock treatment and demons cast out, whatever he went through, the horrors he went through, and finally realizes this is not working. This is who he is. And his wife understands. He's going to leave his wife. He's going to go off with his partner. I can't imagine the trauma he lived with. I can't. I can't imagine the struggles. I have struggles like a heterosexual man would have struggles. You know, watch your eyes, control your thought life, be disciplined. You know, any typical male deals with that. But I can't relate to the struggles someone would go through. Same-sex attracted, as long as they can remember trying to follow Jesus, feeling this deep conflict, and God, why did you make me like that? You know, that's what they would go through. But ultimately, it's not about you, and it's not about me. Fuller Seminary now has a group. It's called a One Table, and it's for those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. And if you look at the films they're watching and all this, I mean, it's typical gay activist stuff. But they're saying, okay, we're not having sex or anything like that, you know, because we're not married, so we abide by that. But you know, we're going to affirm our sexuality as followers of Jesus. And someone involved with this says this, it quickly became apparent to me that I was going to be okay and that I wasn't going to have to forsake my faith for my sexuality. I really hope that people will see Fuller in One Table as a model of what the body of the church is supposed to do in this situation. No, it's the opposite. It's the opposite. When he says, I was not going to have to forsake my faith for my sexuality, he's got the thing completely reversed. We forsake everything, even our very own lives, ourselves, for the sake of following Jesus. Deny yourself, take up the cross, not placate yourself, and then modify the cross.
Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to give you a larger context for what's happening in our society. 866-348-7884. The 1960s, great time of upheaval in America, the counterculture revolution, many of us caught up in that. Many of us know the old saying, if you remember the 60s, you weren't there. And those of you that were there understand the nature of the joke, especially if you were there the way I was, using drugs and things like that. But in the aftermath of the counterculture revolution, someone said if you fell asleep in 1960 and woke up in the year 2000, you'd grow up to the divorce rate doubled. You'd grow up to teen suicide tripled. You grow up to reported violent crime up 4 times, prison population up 5 times, children born out of wedlock up 6 times, people living together outside of wedlock up 7 times. So when people say, no, a lot of things happening now, it's all about equality. It's all about, you know, Americans being more accepting. In other words, what's happening with redefining marriage, what's happening with, quote, gay rights, is all a matter of following through on the civil rights movement of the 60s. That was one of the positive things that happened. No, it's not. Quote, gay rights is not the successor to the civil rights movement of the 60s. Quote, gay rights is the successor to the counterculture revolution of the 60s, the rebellion of the 60s, the sexual revolution of the 60s, the promiscuity of the 60s, the downplaying of the importance of marriage in the 60s and beyond. And some of it has its roots even before the 60s, and then it becomes much more manifest then. So someone listening to me right now, and I know many of you listen that don't agree with me, in fact, you listen and you get mad and you yell at the radio and yet you still listen. I'm glad you're there. I mean, one day, don't just yell at the radio. One day, pick up the phone and call me and yell at me personally. All right. And maybe we can have a bit of a meeting of the minds along the way. But thank you for listening as you differ. Years past, there were people I really didn't like. And I really differed with on the air. And I would listen to them almost obsessively. Like, like, well, why are you getting upset? Just don't listen. Just don't listen. But I'm glad you're listening. Trust me. I'm glad you're listening. But someone find this for me. Maybe, Matt, you can do a little research while we're sitting here. But find me a country. Find me a country where marriage is thriving, high rates of marriage, low rates of divorce, where they're talking about redefining marriage. Talking about making it between two men or two women. As I look at the landscape, what I see is in country after country after country where the meaning of marriage is dissipating, where the importance of marriage is dissipating, where people put it off more and more, where less and less people get married and more people cohabit, and divorce rates skyrocket and so on. In those settings where marriage is being demeaned, that's where you have people talk about redefining it. In other words, the old saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. that when things are healthy and strong in marriage, no one is thinking about redefining it. And by the way, it doesn't fix it, makes it worse. So here's an article, LiveScience.com. Megan Gannon, news editor, U.S. marriage rate drops to new low. See, this is part of what's happening in society. This is part of the larger landscape, the larger picture here. The marriage rate in the United States is continuing its decades-long downward slide, with fewer American women than ever getting married and others waiting longer to wed, according to a new report. The marriage rate has fluctuated in the past with dips in the 1930s and 1960s, but it has been in steady decline since the 1970s. Now, researchers report that the marriage rate has dropped to a new low of 31.1, meaning there are about 31 marriages in the U.S. for every 1,000 unmarried women. Wait, is that possible? It probably has got to say 100. It's got to be a typo. Can't be 1,000. In 1950, the number was 90.2. In 1920, it was 92.3. Yeah, that would make sense. That in 1950, that 90% of the female population of America was married, and now it's closer to 30%. Marriage is no longer compulsory. Study researcher Susan Brown, co-director of the National Center for Family and Marriage Research at Bowling Green State University, said in a statement, "It's just one of an array of options. Increasingly, many couples choose to cohabit, and still others prefer to remain single." Now you add into that, divorce rate in older adults doubles. Okay, this is part of similar information coming out, part of the same survey. The U.S. has one of the highest divorce rates in the world, as nearly 45% of marriages are expected to end through divorce. Now a study has found that the divorce rate among older adults has more than doubled since 1980, and one in four persons who gets a divorce is over 50. Friends, let me say this again. The greater problem in America is not gay activists trying to redefine marriage, but heterosexual Christians letting marriage be so destroyed. And no-fault divorce in our midst. And what does it come back to? It's all about me. It's all about me. It doesn't matter. I took vows in the sight of God because I feel different now. Doesn't matter that I made a solemn pledge to death do us part, and sickness and health, all that, because I'm not attracted anymore. I'm not in love anymore. I'm not I. That's the first thing that has to be crucified when we follow Jesus, isn't it? Deny self. Lord, I live to do your will. And out of that, we are empowered to be changed and to bring about change. And ultimately, friends, our battle is spiritual. I'm not mad at people. I'm not mad at the government. I'm mad at the devil. Yeah, there's a real devil, and we need to understand who he is, how he operates through the flesh in the world. Two of my best teaching series ever on spiritual warfare and angels, demons, and deliverance, rich and deep in scripture and practical application. For the first time ever, we have them for digital download at half price. So just $15, you'll get the two complete series, 24 hours of teaching. Or you can get it on CD for just a few dollars more, and we'll pay the postage. Go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, right on the homepage. Just click. You can order. You can download. That's for the digital download only. AskDrBrown.org or call 1-800-278-9978. You can do the digital download order from there or the CD order. 1-800-278-9978. Again, 24 hours of teaching, super practical, rich in the word. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, the first step for a believer is to recognize that God is on the throne and we are not. Let us submit to him and then live. Well, America and the nations continue to be swirling and shaking even this weekend, even around the world. It's time for some kingdom sanity right here on the Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, we are going to cover a lot of ground and have an exciting, edifying, eye-opening, challenging broadcast today on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us. The number to call, 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. Someone just reminded me of something I posted a few weeks back. If you listen to Rush Limbaugh, he says you'll be on the cutting edge of societal evolution. Well, friends, listen to The Line of Fire and be on the cutting edge of Jesus revolution. That's what we're about, Jesus changing us, and we go and change our world. I spoke Saturday morning over in Charlotte, North Carolina, at the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Actually, I'd spoken there Wednesday morning at the chapel service, but then Saturday morning, there was training for internet evangelism. So I did just a general talk for everyone. People had come from many different states. In fact, the great, great majority were not local. I don't know, 120-something people like that. And I gave tips about online communication and rights and wrongs and understanding the dynamics of online communication and internet evangelism and so on. And then did breakout session where I just talked about principles of apologetics in more specific ways. Well, I gave an illustration that I heard is a powerful story to me. And, you know, is the glass half full, is the glass half empty, right? There was a shoe company that decided they were going to expand from the States and start a new branch over in Africa. Their research development team looked at this for years. They targeted one particular country, one particular city. They shipped over thousands of boxes of shoes into a giant warehouse. They sent their top salesperson over there to get the thing kicked off. And the day he arrived, he wrote back in anger and frustration, sent an email back angry and frustrated, said, "What in the world are you doing? You sent me to the, are you crazy? How could you research this for years? You sent me to the completely wrong city. You shipped all the boxes to the completely wrong city. People here don't even wear shoes. Oh, yeah, we're going to do all this great shoe business. We're going to expand the company here. They don't wear shoes. Get me out of here. I'm coming home." Well, they fly the guy home, and the company leadership sits down and discusses it. And they said, we really feel we were right. We really feel that was the right strategic place to be. So they sent their number two guy over there. And within hours of his arrival there, he sends an urgent email back to headquarters. Urgent email back to headquarters. He said, "I need tens of thousands more boxes of shoes. Nobody here has any shoes." So, yeah, things are really messed up in America now. Scandals in the government, ongoing shaking, the economy, Detroit declaring bankruptcy, one state against another state. I mean, just shaking and upheaval, national division, racial tension, a lot of things going on. The Middle East continuing to boil, tensions with Russia. I mean, it goes on and on and on. I look at this as fertile ground for revival and Jesus revolution. I look at this as fertile ground for an awakening where we quit falling asleep in the sin and the materialism and the lust and the carnality and the compromise of this world, and we awaken to righteousness. When we come back, I'm going to give you some fascinating insights about what's happening in the so-called Arab Spring and how revolution, a Jesus revolution, could be near here in America.
Flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. But let me ask you this question. Do you feel that America is at a major tipping point? Do you feel we are at that point where things could swing radically one way or the other, where we could have complete social anarchy, where we could have massive, devastating economic collapse? You better believe that would lead to social anarchy, where there could be just the complete rise of unrighteousness, or where there could be a radical turning, radical awakening. Do you feel we're at that tipping point in society? 866-348-7884. I wrote in my book, Revolution, so the year 2000, I wrote at the end of 99, beginning of 2000, an intensive six-week period. I wrote that revolution was near in our society, that it was either going to be heaven-sent or hell-bent. In other words, there was going to be a sweeping move of God that would bring awakening to our country in so many ways, an awakening to righteousness and morality, or there would be a hell-bent revolution like we had in the 60s, the counterculture revolution. You had good things like civil rights movement that continued through the 60s, but for the most part, it was morally and culturally disastrous in terms of where it brought us. And I sense clearly that we were on the verge of that, and it's very clear to me that we have been in a negative, a destructive revolution for years now. From the aggressive rise of the new atheist to the aggressive progress of gay activists to an anti-religious backlash to a rise in the dissolution of family, on and on and on, so that less and less people are getting married, more and more people are living together outside of marriage. Marriage is being changed in so many ways and redefined in so many ways. And then just read the stat in the last hour, divorce rates among couples over 50s doubled. I mean, aren't you hearing about that a lot more? Yeah, we married 27 years, just got divorced. Like, what? You'd normally hear, yeah, married 3 years, got divorced, married 6 months, it fell apart, got divorced, married 5 years, it didn't work, got divorced. You didn't normally hear married 25 years, married 30 years, got divorced. But that's what's happening in our society. And it's a time of upheaval. But it's a time where we can seize the moment if we can break away, friends, if we can break away from being like the world. I don't mean we have to wear weird outfits. I don't mean we have to look weird. I don't mean we have to look different. But if we could break away from the spirit of the age and not be consumed with the things that the world is consumed with, and if we could live by biblical values, and if we could live as if Jesus is truly Lord, truly risen from the dead, and truly Lord, I'm telling you, it's American society is ripe for revolution. There's an article that I read last week. I had made the comment that I was talking once to a Catholic activist. I didn't know that he had PhD in sociology from NYU. He got his PhD, I think, about 10 years before I did. And he said to me, you know, it's sociology 101, that when you have a lot of young people in the society, when you have a disproportionate number of young people, then what happens is you have a lot more potential for cultural revolution. And while countries like Japan, and I'm going to give you stats on this in a moment, while countries like Japan are getting older and older and older, and they're now thinking more about, you know, robots and things like that. You know, how are we going to, manage in the future? Because the young people aren't going to be able to support the older people because there's not going to be enough young people to do it. And then as the young people get older, it's not going to be a support system for them. As these countries are getting older and older and older, there are countries in the Middle East that are getting younger and younger and younger. And when you marry that together with economic pressure, then things start to get very difficult. So let me just give you some of these stats, and I'm going to apply this to America in a moment, okay? This is an article by Jerry Bowyer, Youth in Revolt, The Demographics Behind Middle Eastern Uprising. So stay with me here for a minute. I want to make this practical, but let me give you the information and the background first. He says, much has been written about the various uprisings which have been gaining strength and momentum since 2008. Usually it takes the tack of focusing on the abuses of the particular regime in question, because the press tends to see things through the eyes of the official underdog in any story based around conflict. Supply-side economists love... part of the text is covered up here. I'll get it right. Have pointed out to me the ways in which monetary debasement by the United States helps set off a wave of food price spikes, etc. Okay, so he's gone into the economics. But he says, very little has appeared in the public discussion about the demographic component of this wave of destabilization. That's a shame, because although there are real economic risks in a country which gets out of balance and skews too old, so if a country gets older and older, how does it get older and older? Low birth rate. So you're not having as many kids coming into the world. Low birth rate, that happens through people getting married older, through people choosing not to have kids, and through high abortion rates. Low birth rate. So now the country gets older and older and older. And then we have more health improvements and we have more medical improvements, so people are able to live older, longer and longer, and sometimes the quality of life gets weaker and weaker or lesser and lesser, and you have less of a younger generation to support it. So Jerry Bowyer says this, there are real economic risks in a country which gets out of balance and skews too old, but there are also severe consequences to a country which gets out of balance in the opposite direction, at least when that occurs in conjunction with other risk factors. Skew too young and you get what? A revolution. Now, I'm going to apply that to America right now, because we are not skewing too young in America in one way. We do not have high birth rates here. We are barely at the minimum to sustain things. And a lot of that is actually through immigrants, legal and otherwise, I imagine. But listen to what he writes. This is on townhall.com. Skew too young and you get a revolution. An analysis of all the countries which have gone through a revolution, coup attempt, or civil war in the recent Arab Spring shows that every single one of them had a median age of 24 or younger. You follow that? Every single one of the countries in the recent, quote, Arab Spring that have gone through a revolution, coup attempt, or civil war had a median age of 24 or younger. So the story of political revolutions is more often than not the story of starting with a nation which has low life expectancy and high birth rates, hence a young median age, and then you add in high youth employment or one or another radical ideology and a food price spike, and next thing, you have a revolution. Now, I'm going to give you some stats that are startling. I mean, I'm looking at the charts, and the charts are off the charts. Here's what he writes. Skew too old, and you get a regime of get off my lawn. Perfectly groomed, no change, frozen in time, slow death. A Japan which dreams only of its former glories and thinks any possible future lies with robots, is obsessed with horror movies about the vengeful ghosts of discarded children, and sells more adult diapers per year than does baby diapers. Paints a sad but accurate picture of the future of that nation. Then he says this, if a country has a large youth cohort and a high college matriculation rate, and at the same time has high unemployment, then higher education seems to function as to as an unrest accelerant. In other words, the more educated you are, the more young people you have who get higher education, and the less opportunities in society, it now fosters more unrest. It raises expectations, he writes, but fails to deliver on a higher standard of living. It exposes young people to revolutionary ideologies and instills attitudes of condescension and even contempt for the more cautious politics of the elders. And it connects people with these ideas and attitudes and frustrations with other people who share them. This is a recipe for violence and bloodshed. We come back. I want to just share these stats with you that are staggering from some of these Middle Eastern countries and then compare it to a country like Japan and then apply that to the possibility of Jesus' revolution here in America. Stay with me.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-348-7884. I'm talking about moral cultural revolution here in America through the gospel. Talking about how the situation in America is very dire in many ways. We really are at a tipping point in many ways. And yet, this can be a moment that we seize for the gospel, that rather than seeing the glass as half empty, we can see it as half full. Or half empty is wonderful because we have water. Let it be half empty. We have water. I'm talking about how certain social cultural factors explain revolution, explain upheaval, that it's not just mysterious. So I'm looking at a chart. This is from an article by Jerry Bowyer that I read on townhall.com a couple days back, Youth in Revolt, the Demographics Behind Middle Eastern Upbringings. Again, when he says you skew too young, you have a disproportionate number of young people. You don't have long life expectancy for the elders. You have disproportionate number of young people, skewed too young, he says, and you get a revolution. An analysis of all the countries which have gone through a revolution, coup attempt, or civil war in the recent Arab Spring shows that every single one of them had a median age of 24 or younger. So I'm looking at Egypt, which is the most populous of the countries in the Middle East, the world's most populous Arab country. And okay, just picture like a pyramid structure or base where it's wide on the bottom and it gets more and more and more and more narrow as you go up. That's the population base. So in terms of millions, all right, in terms of millions, whether about 70 million people total in Egypt, over 5 million or 0 to 4 years old. Let's add in 0 to 9 years old. That's over 10 million. Let's go as far as saying up through 24 years old. That is roughly, 5, 10, 15, 20, roughly 25 million people. Roughly 25 million people. People who are 24 years old or younger. If we look instead, let's look 50 and up. Well, what does that come to? Just looking at the chart here, 10 million maybe? It's the complete reverse. Libya. The largest single percentage of Libyans would be, say, between 25 and 34 in terms of just a 10-year break here. But the numbers for those 0 to 24 massively dwarfs the number of those, say, 50 and higher. Massively dwarfs the number. When you look at a country like Japan, it's the exact opposite. And America is somewhere in the middle here. It's the exact opposite in Japan. The largest number of people in terms of a single group, 5-year span, they're between the ages of 65 and 69. Remarkably. The percentage of those, or the numbers, are you ready for this? I'm just looking at the chart and figuring this out as I go. Roughly 9 million Japanese, unless I should double this male, female, probably all the numbers I was giving just before could probably be doubled. But so I'm going to double these numbers. Roughly 9 million, 18 million, say, 0 to 14. If I go 60, 65, 70, 70, it's staggeringly higher than the young numbers. The country's getting older and older and does not have the support base. Now, in America, we're somewhere in between. You say, well, why raise this? Because here's what's happening. We have a young generation that's been raised with, it's all about me. We have a young generation with high percentages going to college, getting higher education, and with a continuing diminishing job market. We have all those things going on. There is going to be more and more disillusionment with the younger generation. That's why many have dropped out of church. That's why many have dropped out of organized religion. There's disappointment. There's disillusionment. But they do not have a better answer. They do not have a substitute for the loss of God. And I really see that we are, and it's not some brilliant analysis by me. It's like, who doesn't see this? And if you differ with me, I mean no insult. Feel free to differ with me. But to me, it's just as clear as the nose on my face, and I've got a good-sized nose. We're at one of those tipping point moments. It's been growing for some years now. Things are so volatile. Look, we see what's happened with racial tension in our country, how volatile it is. We've seen in some other parts of the nation where economic collapse and how volatile things get. This is the moment where we can stand up and say, hey, we are living for eternal values. We're in this world, but we have a purpose beyond this world. We're in this world, but we are not addicted to the gods of sports and entertainment and carnality. We're in this world, but we have a revolutionary, life-changing message, and we have a purpose to live for and a purpose to die for, and a message of liberation and a message of wholeness and a message of transformation. Oh, if we could rise beyond just being traditional religious people and seek God for the fire and visitation of His Spirit, if we could do that, I'm telling you, it's ripe time for cultural revolution. It's been going in the wrong direction for years, but there's a whole grassroots movement where people are ready to give themselves to a cause, and we have that cause. Let me remind you also, though, friends, that ultimately, this is a spiritual battle. And some years back, I did the best teaching I've ever done on spiritual warfare and angels, demons, and deliverance in depth. What does the word say? What are the implications for our lives? How do we live this thing out effectively? What does the word say, and how do we walk this out in the spirit? 24 hours of teaching. You can now download these. We've made them available at a special price, first time ever. You can download these direct from our website and get both series, so 24 hours total, 12 hours each, for just $15 download. So within a matter of minutes, you can be listening to these, and they're yours to keep. It's not just you have 30 days to listen. $15 for a 24-hour series, or for $20, you can get the two on CDs to listen to on your computer or your MP3 player on two CDs. Call 1-800-278-9978 to order. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Or easier still, if you just want to order the download, go straight to my website, AskDrBrown.org, right on the homepage. Click there on the special resource offer, and you can be listening to these series as soon as the broadcast is done.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, the ultimate revolution, the ultimate world-changing movement is going to be lived out by the people of God, devoted followers of Jesus, giving themselves to him, not in a violent way, not in a hateful way, not in an angry way, but in a way of surrender to the gospel so that we're here to do the will of God, that our life consists of knowing him and making him known, that it's not all about me, it's all about him. Because it's all about him, I have an answer for this world. We have hope for this world. We have transformation for this world. And it's ultimately not lived out primarily in the local church, but in every home, every individual life, every home, every family, which means that while you may be terribly frustrated by what's happening in the society, and you may be frustrated by what's happening in your denomination or larger church group, you and your family, if you're single as an individual, but you and your family, the basic unit of society, you can live truly revolutionary lives by saying, we're going to live out the principles of Jesus in our marriage. What a place to start. We're going to live out the principles of Jesus in our daily disciplines. We're going to live out the principles of Jesus when we leave this house and we go into the business world. We're going to live out these principles, and we are going to be a countercultural family based on the gospel, not based on arrogance, not based on rebellion, but based on the gospel. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I want to share with you some information about marriage and rise of what are called new families in America. Sobering stuff to remind us, okay, here's the problem, but we have the solution. Here's the problem, but we have the solution. Before I do that, I've been covering a bunch of different things the last hour and a half of broadcasting. Now, this last half hour, as many of you are just joining us now, I want to cover this one thing quickly. My Hyper Grace book, we finished the editing process. It's now in the proofreading process, then the typesetting process, and then it gets in line to be printed and published. The due date for release is January 7th, which on the one hand, I want to live every day from now to January 7th to the full for the glory of God, including some family vacation time we've got planned in the midst of that. I want to thoroughly enjoy every day and live it out for the glory of God. But I can't wait for January 7th and the book to be released. And I'm telling you, it'll be an eye-opening book. Informative, edifying. It'll give you a greater love for grace, hopefully, than you've ever had, and a greater encounter with God's transforming grace. And it'll be eye-opening. But one of the warnings I've had for those who take the message of grace beyond what Scripture says. Here's somebody's Facebook page, and he is a Hyper Grace adherent today. Listen to this little poem he wrote. Spirit of death, you were not created a spirit of death, but a spirit of life. Talking about demonic power here. I forgive you. You knew not what you did. I bless you and redeem you from the curse of the law in Jesus' name. If the last enemy to be defeated is death, I propose to you that you will never overcome death by trying to fight against it. See what happens when you make a decision to bless and forgive even the worst of sinners. Light bulb. And he follows this up with another post. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has redeemed us from the law of sin and death. People today only die by faith in death. I guess he's saying you don't have to die. You say that's crazy. Exactly, it's crazy when you break away from the rest of Scripture and scriptural reality that ties us into this world in a practical way, you end up with heretical nonsense like this. When I come back, I'm going to talk to you about being a Jesus revolutionary in the most practical possible way. Are you with me, or you just want traditional religion? What's it going to be?
Flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I guess it's big news is that the royal couple in England had a boy. So, hey, that's big news for England, 8 pounds, 6 ounces. But think of the child that was born. That's the world changer. 2,000 years ago, the child that was born, if we could just live out his principles, how this world would be shaken. I'm actually going to do some giveaways. I just out of the blue decided to do it. We're going to be doing some giveaways in a moment. So stay tuned. We want to bless you with some free resources. But dads, moms, you want to be Jesus revolutionaries. You want to be world changers. You business people, you want to make a difference. I mean, it starts with the way we live the gospel out right in our private lives. Can I talk to every mom and every dad? The role you have in being a godly example to your kids, the role you have in being a godly spouse, the role you have in simply taking hold of biblical principles, which on the one hand are tremendously challenging, but on the other hand, with God's grace, are neither grievous nor difficult. The role you have to live this out in a practical way is extraordinary and with power beyond what we can recognize. This report's a couple years old from Pew Research, but quite relevant. We've been talking about demographics, did in the last half hour, about lower birth rates, lower marriage rates, people 50 and over now higher, divorce rates, things in America, things in other nations. And there's an article from Pew Research, November 18th, 2010, The Decline of Marriage and the Rise of New Families. In 1960, two-thirds, 68% of all 20-somethings were married. In 2008, just 26% were. So it's saying that marriage has become less important. Marriage is put off more. People wait to get married, then they wait to have kids, or they don't have kids at all, or they have less kids. Or they cohabit because it's cheaper to live together, easier, share things. But then you say, does that get them more ready for marriage? No, the marriage rates continue to go down. Nearly 4 in 10 survey respondents say that marriage is becoming obsolete. In 1978, when Time magazine posed this question to registered voters, just 28% agreed. So 28% in 1978, 39% in 2010, that marriage is becoming obsolete. 7 in 10 say the trend toward more single women having children is bad for society. 61% say a child needs both a father and mother to grow up. On the flip side, we have more and more kids growing up without father and mother. The share of births to unmarried women has risen dramatically over the past half century. 5% of kids born in America in 1960 were born out of wedlock. Today, it's well over 40%. And get this. First-time births in America, so not a mother having her second or third or fourth kid, but a mother having her first kid, over half of them are out of wedlock. Now, that just spells societal breakdown and collapse when you tamper with the foundations. It's like building a building 10 stories high and a foundation that can only support 2 stories. Say, what do we do? You, as a mom, as a dad, I'm talking to believers who are committed to the Lord in particular. You can live differently. You can put down solid roots. You can put down roots where you live out your covenantal vows. You can make life decisions that family time is more important than carnal pursuits. You can make quality decisions together to pour into your kids educationally. Or who are the disciples you want to make? Oh, it's easy for me to get up and preach somewhere else. It was more challenging for me to disciple our daughters. I don't mean that I lived as a hypocrite. I mean that I had more incentive a lot of times to go preach and minister and bring the word to other people than to really try to disciple my own daughters as a father. So I know it sounds ridiculous. I know. But if we would give ourselves to prayer and crying out to God for visitation, and if we just went about living out the gospel day by day, being witnesses, loving our neighbors, ourselves, and having solid godly families, we would be in the thick of a culture revolution for good. All right, more to say on that, 866-342. Let's do, we've never done a digital giveaway. So as long as you have an email address, we can do this. And when you call in, don't call yet. We will email you back and tell you how you can download, this will be for free, how you can download 24 hours of my best teaching, 12 hours on spiritual warfare, 12 hours on angels, demons, and deliverance. I remember when I taught this back in Maryland, starting around 1987, and the first class on spiritual warfare. And one of the students came and said, well, I was just expecting kind of like a lot of charismatic or Pentecostal talk or spiritual abstraction. He said, this was in the Word. This is practical. Oh yeah, to do spiritual warfare, to understand what these things are about, to understand the battle we have with the world and the nature of the demonic realm, it's got to be scripturally based. Everything's scripturally based in how we live this out. Now, you can order these at a reduced price on our website by going to AskDrBrown.org right on the homepage. But I want to give these away. So 24-hour teaching series, as long as you have a computer, MP3 player to download them. 24 hours of teaching given away for free. And within a matter of minutes, once we get the information back to you, you'll be able to start downloading these files. Let's just make it easy. Caller number 6. I want to give away 24 hours of teaching to you. Number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Caller number 6. And when you call in, again, all we need is an email address. We don't need a physical address. And then you'll be able to download this teaching series. While we're doing that, let me grab a phone call from Coletta in Greensboro, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Peace and blessing. I just, you know, the eternal and everlasting plan, we don't have. We have something that has to end. We've been raised up under it. We've been taught it in our schools and everything. Okay, even with Jesus, Mary was chosen because of her holiness. When we leave out the feminine attributes and whatnot, and come to the hard side, it has to end. I mean, when I see how they have...
Just do me a favor. Could you just be more specific to make sure I understand what you're saying, Coletta?
Okay. I do the best I can.
Yeah, please help me.
Manhood was given a time to ring, but motherhood is the eternal and everlasting plan. Galatians 4:4 states, all sons born with the woman in them are divine man child. Now, the secular system gives it a different definition, and it caused them to error. The scriptures say, "What thou shalt not kill." But what is war? But if anything else but killing.
All right. So you're all right. So just to see if I understand your point, and obviously I'd have a different take on Galatians 4:4, but your argument would be that the lack of an understanding of motherhood or values that a woman would be more prone to have has led to the failures in society and so on. Let me come at it from a different angle, but thank you for the call. Of course, we do have a winner, but thank you for calling in and sharing that perspective. Let me try to interpret it in a way that's perhaps more applicable meaningful as we're all listening. And again, we have a winner. Thanks for the call. We'll do another giveaway in a couple minutes, so hang in there, folks. Motherhood is not esteemed the way it used to be esteemed, is it? See, again, you want to be revolutionary? It's so simple. It's so simple because things are so messed up in our society. Let's esteem mothers and motherhood. Let's esteem fathers and fatherhood. Look, I said in the first hour that the whole redefining of marriage and so-called gay rights and all that, this is not the successor to the civil rights movement. This is the successor to the counterculture revolution rebellion. It's all about me, flesh, sexual revolution. That's what it's a successor to. And part of that is the downgrading of women, motherhood, being in the home, raising, nurturing kids. Let's be revolutionary and capture it.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, let's do another giveaway. 24 hours of teaching. You'll find it in-depth, practical, life-impacting, spiritual warfare, angels, demons, and deliverance. It's all digital download. So when you call in, whoever the winner is, so don't call yet, but whoever the winner is, okay, the phones are buzzing, but we're not doing it yet. So I didn't say to call yet, honestly, I appreciate the enthusiasm, but and this is going to be digital download again, so you have to be able to download on your computer, MP3 player, your cell phone, whatever, but then you'll be able to listen to these teachings and be blessed, and they're yours to keep. It's not just like a 30-day expiration date or something like that. So again, we'll make this real simple so I can do a couple more before the hour's out. We're not going to make it like caller number 9,811 or something like that. Just caller number seven, 24 hours of teaching is on its way out to you via digital download on spiritual warfare, angels, demons, and deliverance right now. Phone lines open 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. Demographic structures, and Chris, thank you for tweeting these into me. I was talking earlier in this hour about the age structure in a country like Japan, all right? Those aged 0 to 14 years, 13.5% of the population, and it skews higher male versus female. 15 to 24 years old, 9.8% of the population. 38.5% of the population is made up of 25 to 54-year-olds. 55 to 64-year-olds is 14.4%. We have a winner, by the way. We have a winner. And then 65 years or older, 23.9%. So please understand this. Hear this again. Those 65 years old and older in Japan are 23.9% of the population. Those 0 to 14 years old are 13.5% of the population. Do you see the radical difference there and the aging of the population? Now let's look in Germany. Those 0 to 14 years old, 13.2% of the population. Those 65 or older, 20.7%. The population getting older. Again, folks, we do have a winner, so you don't need to hang on the phone, so I'm going to give it one more shot before we're done, okay? Egypt. Look at this. 65 or older, 4.7%. 0 to 14 years, 32.5%. Do you understand why there is so much social upheaval in Egypt right now? All these young people being born all these young people being raised in economic hardship, many of them getting higher education and then having even less outlet, becoming more aware of the problems, of course you're going to have social revolution. This is the case throughout the Muslim Arab world with the so-called Arab Spring. All right, last time, and we'll make it real quick, caller number 5, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, caller number 5. This is your, well, it's lucky or blessed, or maybe if you're Calvinist, it's preordained, or if you're Arminian, just try harder. 866-34-TRUTH, caller number 5. You get the free 24-hour digital download. Okay, we have a winner. Thank you very much. We have a winner. Everybody else, hey, just $15. We've cut the price in half to be a blessing to you. Go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, and download the teaching series. You'll be blessed. You'll be helped. Okay, we see in America that we're kind of in between. The population is aging, the birth rate is lower, but it's not the extreme like you have in Japan, like you have in Germany, or in the opposite side, like you have in Egypt or Libya. However, we are in a situation where young people really do not have a cause and purpose, where young people have had so much in a material way, and they have been left empty and bankrupt spiritually, where there has been so much hypocrisy and disappointment and breakdown even in the most basic fundamental family social structures, all of which means America in many ways is more ripe for revolution than it's been since the 60s. Sadly, for the most part, it is not the cause of the gospel that is winning out now, just like happened in the 60s. It is not the values of Scripture that are being lived out in a countercultural way, but rather so much of the way of the world is triumphing. This is our moment, friends. Instead of seeing the glass half empty, maybe it's 90% empty, but we've got water. We have water. We have the water of life. We have the message of the gospel that can transform, and we've got to live it out first. Well, friends, if we could make a new determination to live it out in our private lives, if we could make a new determination to live it out in our marriage and family, come on, moms and dads, sit down and say, we're not going to give way to the spirit of the world. We're not going to give way to the spirit of divorce. We're not going to give way to the spirit of immorality. We're not going to give way to the spirit of selfishness. We're going to give ourselves to God and our kids, and we're going to be world changers. I feel it so deeply. We can really seize the moment and see radical change come. Stand with us, friends. Help us be a voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. Would you pray for us? Would you pray for the Line of Fire? Would you pray for me? Would you pray for our team? Would you tell others about what we're doing? Would you help us with your support as you're able to, if God lays it on your heart, to become a monthly supporter, a torchbearer? And then get our resources. We discount them in many ways. We give special offers because the reason I write and teach is to get things into your hands, but we have expenses with it. So get our resources. That helps us do what we're doing as well. You can download 24 hours of the best teaching I ever did on spiritual warfare and angels, demons, and deliverance. I'm telling you, eye-opening, practical, word-based, life-changing. We've cut the price in half for digital download, just $15. Or you can get 2 CDs also at half price. I think it's just $20. So take advantage of these. We'll pay the postage for mailing, and digital download is free, of course. Go to 1-800. Call 1-800-278-9978 for the CD or digital download. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Or go to my website. If you want to just do the digital download, it'll take a matter of seconds. 1-800-278-9978 or AskDrBrown.org. My bottom line today, the Jesus Revolution starts with you and with me in our personal lives, in our families. That's where it begins.